Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It is your home for free speech. Hey, there's some good free speech. You know, we had John Stadtmiller's show. He had substitutes filling in for him yesterday. Keith Elkins, he filled in, at least at the beginning, and I guess Keith Rogers filled in at the beginning, Keith Rogers of Perception Management, and then Steve Elkins, who I guess was the intended guest host, came in after his technical difficulties eased up, but I thought Keith Rogers did a really good opening monologue there, so I'm going to give him a shout-out. It's what you get on republicbroadcasting.org. So go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and send a donation. And go to nationalbugle.com, which is the home of the co-certified app. You'll find it there. You'll be able to download it. You will be able to learn about the kosher question so you too can lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Okay, so today there's a lot going on. I think I'm going to do this. I recorded a program earlier this week with Eric Gajewski of Trad Cat Night, and we did it while I was walking my dog. I still have to walk my dog, even though Stormfront Radio is not a thing anymore, for the time being at least. I still have to walk my dog, and people who listened to Stormfront knew that I was often walking my dog or my dogs, because that was a live show in the morning, and, you know, dogs aren't going to walk themselves. So we did record the show. Something apparently went wrong with Skype, and the first part of it wound up going off into the ether. And it was pretty brilliant, I got to say. It was pretty brilliant. I know the first part we were talking about economics, and maybe it's all things that you've heard me say before, but there's some good stuff, and I'm going to play that later in the show. It will probably take up pretty much the whole third segment. But for the first couple of segments, I want to talk about the ongoing George Floyd trial. And so I looked into the George Floyd arrest and the evidence. I've looked into a lot of the evidence. And I presented a lot of the evidence, and if you go to nationalbugle.com, I'll tell you what the most convenient way of doing this is, if I can get it up here real fast, nationalbugle.com. I don't have the newest computer, but if you go to nationalbugle.com and you look in the, which section is it? You go to immigration and demographics, okay? And the first article up there is Dr. Duke and Dr. Slattery. Thanks to Tucker for rebroadcasting our August show on George Floyd's suicide and the Zio Media lynching of Derek Chauvin. That's the first article right now if you're listening to him. You know, if you're listening to this on archive, in a week or so, maybe you'll have to scroll down the immigration and demographics section. Or at the very top where it says immigration and demographics. And, you know, National Bugle, this is 19, probably like the this may be 1999 era HTML technology, you know, which is why it loads so fast and why it's never going to download a virus onto your computer or anything. It is bare bones. It's all you need. But at any rate, that header, if you click on the header, it will take you to basically everything that's ever been uploaded, all the links. They don't have timestamps, so you don't know when they're from, but you can do a search and find articles if you're looking for it. But at any rate, if you click on that Dr. Duke and Dr. Slattery, thanks to Tucker for rebroadcasting our August show, right? If you look at that, that takes you over to davidduke.com, and it shows you a few pages from the training manual, for instance. showing the current definition of excited delirium, the common risk factors. Okay, they are in handcuffs, now what? And you got the picture of that, the recovery position with the officer in the training manual having his knee on the back of the neck of the suspect who is lying, well, in a prone position. So it's got that, but not only does it have that, there's four links towards the bottom of the show. I mean, there's a couple other links that are to my August 4th show, for instance, where I was talking about the George Floyd case, or even the June 8th. I mean, that was 2 weeks after the George Floyd incident. Mark Collett and I, on June 8th, did a very good show, where, you know, we were saying the truth of what happened. But at any rate, the four links at the bottom of this page. Okay, one, you've got the autopsy report, and the autopsy report's just got a whole bunch of information in there. I don't know if it really has a conclusive cause of death type of thing in it, in the autopsy report itself, but it shows, you know, there's a toxicology report with all this, the massive amount of fentanyl he had. You know, it'll show how much fentanyl and other drugs, that he already had, heart disease, all sorts of stuff that's in there. So there's that. Okay, so there's that basic evidence. What else do you have? You've got the link to the body cam video. Okay, so that's in there. So this is kind of one-stop shopping for some of the best evidence. So the body cam, you watch the body cam, and you see clearly Floyd was being treated respectfully. He wasn't cooperating. He was certainly having a panic attack, because he knew he was going to go to jail. You know, he knew he had a long criminal history. He knew he had he was on drugs. He knew he had drugs on him. And I assume, although I don't know for sure, I assume he knew he had he was passing off the fake $20 bill, which, you know, in the big picture of things, does that really matter? At any rate, that's why the store manager called the police. This place he was in, it seems only for the first time today I saw footage of the inside of this Cup Foods place, and it looks like it's, I could be wrong in this, but I think it's run by Muslims, Muslim immigrants, and when you go to black neighborhoods, in the old days, you used to have blacks running shops in black neighborhoods. Then the whole black entrepreneur class got wiped out through desegregation. All the blacks started going shopping in the white stores, and the black entrepreneurial class is it self-destructing? That's thank you, Martin Luther King, I guess. But if you go to the black neighborhoods today, you do find stores, and they're typically run by immigrants. There was, in the Rodney King case, there were the famous roof Koreans. You know, Koreans are famous for running like liquor stores and convenience stores. But I think more recently it's people from the Asian subcontinent, so Pakistanis and whatnot. I think that's what it was, because I heard that this place sold halal meats. It's not just a tiny little convenience store. It seems to like it sells a fair amount of stuff. So there's the body cam video. We'll get back to that. You can see the body cam video where, you know, he's panicking, where you can hear Officer Lane describe him in his radio transmissions, describe him as being in a state of excited delirium, which is important that they identified him as being in a state of excited delirium, which is typically brought on by drug use. You can hear Officer Lane inquiring what's he on to George Floyd himself and to his companions. You can hear all this stuff. This is all stuff that I've been making available as long as it's been available. The body cam footage was available to the press almost immediately. We didn't get it until late July when one of the press outlets, I think it was the Daily Mail, leaked it. But it was not made available to the general public because Keith Ellison, the black Muslim attorney general of Minnesota, repressed it because he wanted to maintain this narrative that racist cops murdered George Floyd. The body cam video makes it very, very clear that didn't happen. So you got the body cam video, you got the autopsy report. What else is up there? Well, we've got the his past criminal record, so you can see his past criminal record, which, you know, there's a lot there. And then one other thing that's important, and that's the Minneapolis Police Training Manual, which specifically outlines the protocol for handling somebody in a state of excited delirium who's been resisting arrest. And it says, okay, you've got the handcuffs on, now what? And it says, put them down into this position. They call it the recovery position. It is so to immobilize the suspect in order for them, once they're immobilized, then, and you know, they stop struggling, then the heart can calm down and they'll be less likely to have a heart attack. So you have all this stuff. And now I've started, the first day or two, I didn't really pay any attention to the trial. But for whatever reason, a couple of days ago, I decided I'm going to start paying attention to the trial. So I can't say I've heard all of the testimony and everything, but I've heard an awful lot. And I'm going to share it with you because I've heard a lot. And, you know, Dr. Duke will say, well, they're just making it a big emotional thing. Okay, so basically we have two trials going on. We've got the trial going on in the courtroom, and we've got the trial going on basically in the media. You could say in the streets or whatever. It's not in the streets yet. It's really in the media. It's outside the courtroom. So what's going on inside the courtroom is a trial of Derek Chauvin. Did he murder George Floyd? Is this manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter? Did they get the involuntarily manslaughter charge in there? At any rate, it is about George. It is about Derek Chauvin, and his guilt or innocence regarding the charges. The judge could be doing a better job, but he could certainly be doing a worse job. So there's that trial. But the trial that's going on outside is based on emotion, and it's not even so much a trial of George Floyd or of Derek Chauvin, but it's more a trial of white people. I think it's a trial of white supremacy, of white people. And, you know, Dr. Duke was complaining, well, this is a witch hunt, and it is a, it's a witch hunt, a show trial, but not a witch hunt, but a witch trial. He keeps comparing it to the Salem witch trial, and he's talking about emotion. And I've been listening to it a few ways. I first found it by way of a link from the Daily Stormer to the Ralph Retort. And Ethan Ralph is I guess he's in his mid-30s, but he was, you know, to me that's young. He's a young, I guess he's a gamer who does kind of like more or less alt-right podcast type thing where there's a lot of swear words and all of that, and they talk about stuff that sometimes you could say is beneath the dignity of a distinguished older gentleman like me, or just that would be creepy for an older guy to be talking about. So either way. But Ethan Ralph seems to be somebody who has a certain interest in, I'm not going to say expertise, but he's got a certain interest in court cases, so he knows more than I do about it. And so he's covering this very intensely. Now, I don't necessarily recommend you watch the trial through his court retort that he's putting on every morning because he's talking a lot during it. Maybe you'll enjoy it, maybe you won't. But that's what I've gotten a lot, and then every night he talks about it maybe for an hour or something. And so that's one source. I watched some clips from Court TV, and I was really shocked when I watched the clips from Court TV because they were exactly as Dr. Duke would describe. It was all about the emotion. You know, they weren't talking about the contents of the testimony. They were talking about the emotion. They literally were. So there was an older man who I talked about last year in more or less real time. Well, not, I talked about last late July and August after the body cam video came out, and then you could, well, actually maybe it was before that, because I think you could see video. It wasn't from the body cam, but it was shot from the crowd. It was when Floyd was already being restrained on the ground. Or no, actually, it was even from before that. Maybe this was from the body cam video. Because the older gentleman, while Floyd was struggling not to get into the car, the police car and all that, was saying, "You can't win, just get in there, you can't win. You're going to jail, just don't resist, you can't win." He was saying that type of thing. So they had him up on the stand. And he looked a lot like Ray Charles. He was wearing some glasses. He's not blind, but he was wearing some unusual glasses with Elton John frames. Okay, let's just say he was wearing Elton John glasses. Otherwise, you know, he's older, colored gentleman. Did not sound particularly educated. Was a little bit hard to understand. I don't know where he's from, if he's from the South or what. He probably is. But at any rate, he cried. He says he cried, you know, he cried during when George Floyd was saying, "Mama, Mama." Now, he says he cried because his own mother had just passed away last year, and that's what made him emotional. But whatever. But that's what the news was, the Court TV. And I was surprised, you know, if it was ABC News, it would be one thing. But Court TV, that this is the type of thing that's their analysis is he cried. Or if they were talking about George Floyd had this white girlfriend of, you know, who had been seeing for 2.5 years or something, not exclusively. And, you know, as a matter of fact, the white girlfriend who met George Floyd, I guess when she went to some sort of, you know, group home or halfway house where her baby daddy was staying, George Floyd came down and said, "Can I pray with you?" And that was so touching that she's been hanging out with George Floyd. The two of them have been struggling with addiction together. They've been struggling with addiction. So they've been, you know, taking opioids together and who knows whatever else. I don't know who's taking care of her kid when she's spending the night with George Floyd, because sometimes she'd spend the night with George Floyd or George Floyd would spend the night with her. Now, that night of Memorial Day when George Floyd died, no, he was going to be spending the night with another woman that she testified to. All of this stuff would be, like, scandalous a couple decades ago, but now it's, like, virtuous. It's virtuous. They struggled with addiction together. The Court TV and... No, maybe that was on ABC News, because I did have to watch some of it live on ABC News. And, ABC News, they butt in and say, "Well, she obviously loved him." It's like, well, okay, what does that have to do with the trial? But what does have to do with the trial is the defense attorney actually does seem to be the smartest person in the room. You know, I don't know about the judge, but the prosecutors, there is a woman and I don't know much about her, but she will ask questions and then says, "Oh, well, that was a bad question." She's always criticizing her own questions. She asks the questions too quickly. The judges had to slow her down. And then there is a male. There might be some other prosecutors. There's a male whose name I don't remember. It could be a Jewish name. I'm not sure. He's not really standing out. But the defense attorney, whose name is Eric Nelson, he is standing out, and he seems to be doing a pretty good job. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Oh,
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
And we are back. So I was just talking about the George Floyd trial. And the defense attorney, Eric Nelson, for example, one of the witnesses, and so far most of the witnesses, well, okay, I've seen a few witnesses who were in the crowd or mob that was shouting abuse at the police while they were restraining George Floyd. And although that black gentleman was not at that time shouting abuse at the cops, he was telling Floyd to stop struggling. But there was a woman, a young woman, who at the scene had claimed to be EMS, I guess. Maybe that's what she used. She's not a paramedic. It's a lower rank. She's a fireman, actually. And of course, the fire department responds to a lot of medical situations, and so she is an emergency medical technician, EMT. That's what it is, EMT. And although she had shouted that that's what she was, I mean, she was just dressed up like some skank hanging around in the ghetto on her day off. That might not be admissible evidence to the court saying she's a skank. She's dressed up like a skank hanging out in the ghetto on the way out. So it's not admissible in court. But I'm just saying that's what she was doing. She was hanging out in the ghetto. I don't know why. And she was yelling at the cops, check for a pulse and things, which frankly seemed kind of reasonable, except that she was also yelling abuse at the cops, calling them bitch or bitches or whatever. Meanwhile, there was a former collegiate wrestler who I guess is still engaged in martial arts, and he was yelling really, really harsh abuse nonstop while they were doing this. I mean, you talk about this 9 minutes and how many ever seconds that Floyd was in the recovery position with Chauvin's knee on his neck. This entire time, there was a small crowd that was shouting abuse at the police. One of the police officers had to be dealing specifically with them to kind of keep them at bay. And Eric Nelson is setting up this crowd as being actually more responsible. Let's get to the woman. She testified, and she was saying that in her opinion the police should have done this and they should have done that to administer better first aid in order to keep Floyd from dying, right? And Eric Nelson asked a whole bunch of questions, basically showing that it was kind of unreasonable for them to be taking directions from her and this and that. I could do a better job of explaining, but here's the thing. I wish I could give you better examples, but and they would go back and forth between the prosecution and the defense in questioning this woman. And he blew a lot of holes in her testimony. But then they adjourned for the day to have her come back. So she had to come back the next day for Eric Nelson to ask one single question. And it was, did you show your ID to the cops? Did you show your ID to the police? No. No further questions. And the thing is, so that's the one thing that's really going to stick out, is bringing her back up there. And so she was yelling all this stuff. And, some of it was probably reasonable first aid advice, but an awful lot of it was abuse. And then, of course, she never properly identified herself. She just claimed to be an EMT, but she never showed identification. So there's that. There was the martial arts guy, but and then they've been interviewing would he be the sergeant who was the immediate supervisor of Chauvin and other people up the chain of command in the police, or a battalion captain in the fire department, about what's the normal procedure. And this is where we are so far as I can tell. The question winds up being, it was appropriate for police to put George Floyd in the recovery position. Putting him in that position was appropriate. The question, what I think is going to, where things are going to revolve, is should he have been taken out of that position once he stopped struggling? Okay. Now, the fact of the matter is he died while he was in that position. I mean, he stopped struggling because he was dying or dead. And that's what things are going to revolve around. And of course, part of what Eric Nelson is showing is that they have to be making all of these decisions. Floyd was much larger than them. And, if he came to again, he could, he wasn't being restrained. He could injure them. He could injure themselves. But the other thing is they had their attention divided between George Floyd's situation and this angry crowd. Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You are my paradise completer.
Welcome back. Okay, so we're shifting gears here. This is the interview with Eric Gajewski. He's interviewing me, and the first part gets deleted for whatever reason. It's a Skype issue. I'm going to just play what's left over. The question I was asked was about the Israeli elections from last week, and the point I'm making is why Israeli elections are always or so often deadlocked, produce deadlocked results. And I'm explaining that because Arabs are able to vote and because they have a proportional representation system, Arabs who make up maybe, 20% of the population, Israeli Arabs, Arabs with Israeli citizenship, that and it's proportional representation, maybe about 10 to 15 Knesset members out of 120, I believe, are Arabs. And the Arabs are not going to be part of any coalition. So in effect, it's not that that Netanyahu or whomever has to put together a coalition. It has to put together a majority of 61 seats out of 120, but it has to be like 61 seats out of 105 of the Jews. And so he basically needs a supermajority, or the opposition needs a supermajority, and they can't get it. Here we go. I hope you enjoy this.
Of like a 60% majority instead of a 50% majority, and Netanyahu's not able to do that, and Netanyahu's opponents aren't able to do that. So it's very easy for Israel to have deadlocked elections. The other thing is, though, because you have to find the because of the proportional representation system, well, you can't have coalitions with the Arabs, but you can't have coalitions with these ultra-Orthodox, and they're often very, they're always very much sought after. And so there are these big concessions being made to relatively small or smaller groups of Jews inside Israel, like the ultra-Orthodox. And so it makes Israeli politics very strange indeed.
Yeah, well, so you know what? Let's stay there since we're talking about that. Let's get to the latest here with vaccines. But what do you make of some of the latest happening there in Israel with the Green Pass? They got their freedom bracelet things. You've had some Jews coming out. I mean, I've seen some viral videos this past week, and they're just up in arms over Israeli government and what they've been doing to the Jews over there in that area. But with the vaccines now, you've got Moderna. President now admitting it's an operating system. You've got Astra COVID vaccine now banned in at least 24 countries. As a matter of fact, there was a new headline I saw today on Drudge where in Canada they're now suspending Astra to those under 55 years old, again, citing more blood clot fears. There was another new headline: new vaccines will be needed in a year, says the Guardian and other headlines. So no surprise there. They'll keep this moving along, but I don't know. What's your thoughts and sentiments behind the vaccine and these supposed new mutations? There's one now down in Brazil, I guess. I don't know. Can't keep up with it. But what's some of the latest you're seeing, Pat?
Well, I mean, seeing as we are using Israel as our segue into this, you've got this party in Israel, which is newly formed, and they're being kind of repressed, and they're an anti-coronavirus vaccination party. And the Israelis have, I guess they vaccinated a bigger percentage of their population, certainly mm-hmm. a bigger percentage of the Jewish population than any other country. And, you know, for those people who think that this this corona, the fake pandemic or the fake public health crisis was computer modeled and planned to a T, and it's just being implemented step by step, I think it's much more decentralized, a lot more ad hoc, just as nefarious, but it's a lot more ad hoc when you see something like this, because if this was completely centrally planned, wouldn't the Israelis be a little bit more on board? The thing is, if this does have major health consequences, the Israelis are going to bear a big brunt of it. But, you know, Israelis are mostly Jews, and Jews do have a kind of a bit of a paranoid streak, and they are buying, for the most part, they're buying into the hysteria and lining up for these shots, although I think a lot of the ultra-Orthodox typically don't get shots for one reason or another. So I don't know. I think there's a big potential for this just to unravel, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Now, geopolitically speaking, again, I'll circle back first to Biden. You can pick up wherever you'd like. You had Biden over the last month indicating Putin was a killer. I'm sure Putin got a good laugh at that one. Besides that, anything that stands out to you? Do you believe that we could be headed towards World War III here soon, as some of my guests seem to think? I know I'm paying attention to the Ukraine-Russia area. Seems to be getting a little spicy over the last week or so again. But what's standing out to you on the geopolitical level?
Well, what I talk about a lot, obviously there's been hostility towards Russia for a long time, and the Democrats and people like Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, and the current number three person at the State Department, Victoria Nuland, have been rattling sabers towards Russia. But you've also got the China thing, which alarms me so much, because it seems to me that so many MAGA people, you know, nobody can talk about Jewish power. And this, the President Trump, the Trump presidency was sunk pretty much from day one by what I've called the Jew d'etat, Jewish interests, that they were behind the Mueller probe, they were behind the impeachment. I mean, you can go through the stars of the impeachment hearings, whether you're talking about the committee chairman, you know, you're talking about Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff, Gerald Nadler, whether you're talking about the witnesses like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman or Ambassador Jovanovich. You're talking about the those lawyers, Noah Feldman and the snarky Jewish lesbian. I can't remember her, or some Pamela Kaplan. Where, no matter who you or Carlin, I guess her name was. No matter who you're talking about, it was this. The whole thing was a Jewish affair, and you look at the. There's also a massive Jewish role in the, well, obviously in the media role in demonizing Trump and then the stolen election, and so, but nobody in the mainstream can talk about Jewish power, and so, China, has been the bogeyman that the conservatives and the Fox News have put up. China, oh, we're going to own those liberals. They kept saying that Russia got Trump elected. We're going to own them by saying that China got Biden elected. Well, the thing is, Blinken, China, Biden and Blinken, they're not Chinese stooges. They're hostile to China. Look at the meeting that Blinken and Jake Sullivan had with their counterparts from China in Alaska a few weeks back. They were very hostile. The Americans have been very hostile to China. The media is very hostile to China. And the Chinese aren't behind our problems. Our problems are our Jewish-dominated ruling elite. The Chinese aren't locking us down. The Chinese aren't inflicting Black Lives Matter on us. The Chinese didn't rig our election. Our problems is our own Jewish ruling elite, or predominantly Jewish ruling elite. And nobody can talk about it, but it's extremely dangerous to... Then, because you can't talk about the nature of our ruling elite, to scapegoat China, because we're headed towards a world where you've got a U.S. NATO axis on the one side, mm-hmm. and then an emerging China Russia alliance on the other side, and guess what? Who are the good guys? If you've got to pick good guys, the China Russia alliance are the good guys. I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than by Jews.
Now, an area that you're probably following a little bit more closely, I know Dr. David Duke is, so maybe you could give us an update. And I think we've got David coming on over the next few weeks, so we'll obviously ask him directly. But the latest with the Chauvin case, which I think is in pretrial at this point. I know it's got a few headlines up there.
I think the trial started yesterday.
It did. Okay, so here we go. Day two. So it has started. You're correct. What's the latest there? Can you imagine if... Chauvin does get off, what the cities might look like here in the not-so-distant future? We already saw, we got probably a glimpse of it in 2020. But what's some of the latest that you're hearing from this case? What's David saying?
Well, I mean, what David and I are pointing out is that there is just completely open and shut case evidence that Chauvin and the other three police were responding to somebody who committed a crime, but then was obviously whacked out on drugs. He had to be apprehended. He could not be allowed to drive around while he's overdosing on fentanyl. They recognized he was overdosing. They followed the procedure. They called in. They requested an ambulance, which got sent to the wrong place. And they followed the procedure of somebody who is overdosing at risk of a heart attack. And so they put him into the recovery position. That's what that position was called, the recovery position. If you look at, if this is all clear from, if you've watched, I've watched the entire body cam video. They were respectful to him the whole way. He was saying he couldn't breathe long before he was on the ground. And you can't breathe. Well, that's, you have shortness of breath when you're having a heart attack. It's clear he overdosed. The police were trying to save him. And the media knew this all the time. From practically day one, because they, unlike the public, the media had access to the body cam footage. The attorney general, the black Muslim guy, Keith Ellison, he restricted access to the body cam footage to the media, although after a couple of months, one of the British newspapers leaked it. But it's clear. And the whole thing last year was a giant lie. And it wasn't perpetrated by China, by the way. It was really perpetrated by the media, our Jewish-dominated media. And the jury is going to see the evidence. They're going to see the autopsy report. They're going to see George Floyd's criminal record. They're going to see all this stuff. And it's hard, like any fair, they need a unanimity in order to convict. And it's hard to imagine that all 12 people would be willing to sacrifice justice because of, you know, the pressure. But who knows? We'll see. Mm. But I think he's just so clearly innocent that these cops were not trying to harm this man. They were trying to save his life, and they followed police procedure. And the police training manual and the video accompanying it will be part of the evidence, and they were doing exactly what they were trained to do.
Now, perhaps another area that you might be following a little bit more closely than I have. In fact, I really haven't been talking about this at all. But the latest with Cuomo, we've got a new Cuomo accuser apparently coming out. I can't even keep track of how many accusers now it's up to. It's like a competition between Deshaun Watson, who I think last time I heard like 15 accusers, might be like dozens by now, and Cuomo. So there's like a little competition there. But what's the latest in this area? Again, with politics these days, it's hard to imagine. I'm sure a lot of these guys are blackmailed. But what's some of you seeing with the Cuomo case?
Well, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the Me Too accusers. I think basically Cuomo, who was being built up as a giant hero a year ago. He was, mm-hmm. he was the darling, the star. But you know, he forced nursing homes to take on COVID patients, and nursing homes. I mean, that's the one place. It seems that who is the vulnerable population to the virus? It's not young people. It's not regular people. But to the extent people are vulnerable, it's older people in nursing homes who have compromised immune system. And he was sticking COVID forcing nursing homes to take them, and of course, you wound up having a lot of deaths. And I think the all this Me Too business is a way of getting rid of Cuomo in order to hopefully, from their point of view, prevent scrutiny of these actions. And we'll just see how it plays out. It's kind of interesting, but it also does show that the Cuomo, who was so much a product of the media, the media is willing to use these people and abuse them. They will ride them like a rental car, and mm-hmm. then they'll ditch them. In fact, not even like a rental car, like a carjacked car, and that's what they do. So you know, right now they're riding Biden. They were riding Gavin Newsom, and they will abandon these people when it suits them.
Now, circle back. One more follow-up question in regards to politics. What's more likely, Trump getting back in 2024 or Biden lasting a whole year? What's more likely?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Biden, here's the thing with Biden lasting. It's a bit unclear to me whether, you know, the people who are running things now, which I think is kind of a committee. It's people who were close to Joe Biden in the past, like Tony Blinken, and they're in because of their and Ron Klein, the chief of staff, which is an extremely important position, the White House chief of staff. They are longtime confidants of Joe Biden. If Joe Biden is replaced with Chlamydia Harris, then what happens to these people? If they feel secure that they are going to be part of the post-Biden administration, well, then maybe they will go along with Biden being eased out. But here's the other thing. But you know, they might not be part of a post-Biden administration. But here's the other thing: if Biden is eased out, either through coaxing him to resign, or you know, if he wouldn't cooperate, the 25th Amendment, you know, it's based on his poor health. What's his poor health? His poor health is his senility. And if people have been saying since 2019 that he's going senile, and these people like Tony Blinken, like Chlamydia Harris, were saying, oh, no, Biden's great, he's in charge. Well, if Biden is forced into resignation, it shows that these people were co-conspirators in everything, in the stolen election. Can the rest of the country and can governors of many states, can they accept this after it's been exposed that, yeah, Biden was – he was senile from the beginning. And I think you could wind up with a constitutional crisis based on this where Chlamydia Harris, and that's what I like to call her because it suits her, where you know, all of a sudden she's about as welcome at dinner as Andrew Cuomo. Then what happens? And, you know, do you wind up with a Gerald Ford type of, you know, out of the blue president? Mm-hmm. You know, somebody who has to be selected through the other process of the 25th Amendment. Do you wind up with Texas and Missouri and some other states suspending their membership in the union or forming a provisional United States or, you know, constitutional United States? What happens? It could be a massive crisis.
Pay attention. We're going to sing together, okay?
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And we are back. We are back. Okay, so that kind of wraps it up for the week. There's obviously been a lot of stuff going on. The George Floyd trial, I think, is very significant. Inside the courtroom, I do think it's going to hinge on the relative guilt or innocence of Officer Chauvin. And, you know, there is a question about, did he have his knee on too long? But even if he had, not his knee, it's really not the knee. But So there's two questions, I guess. Did they restrain him too long? Because he had stopped resisting. He stopped resisting because he was dead. But then the other thing is, if you're restraining a dead person, are you doing him any harm? By the time he went down, because the thing is, if he's been restrained for a long time, well, why was he being restrained for such a long time? It's because the ambulance took so long to arrive because it went to the wrong place. It went to the wrong place. And so they're just stuck. There's a mob around them shouting abuse. They're waiting and waiting and waiting for the ambulance to come. So would a reasonable person say, they should have stopped? Well, maybe a reasonable person would say they should have stopped and maybe, tried to check his state of health. A reasonable person could say that. But the thing is, he was basically a goner long before this. He stopped struggling because he died, basically. And did putting him in the recovery position, did anything the police do really cause his death in anything? Did it contribute in anything other than a kind of circumstantial way? And I don't think it did. I don't think anything they did contributed in anything other than a circumstantial way. Well, they were there. The resisting, his own panic attack. He was panicking because he was going to be arrested. So his own panic attack and subsequent heart attack and his previous, his current drug inebriation and his cardiac disease and everything, that's really what caused the death. We'll see. We'll see, and it's going to be important. Okay, I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Danke schön, Angela, danke schön. Thank you for all the rape and pain. Pictures show migrants in a row, marching through the streets, fields of wheat, lots to eat, jihad sweet. Danke schön, Frau Merkel, danke schön. Tell those lies, no need to explain. Don't be afraid, we'll have our pensions paid. Meanwhile, they'll tear your dress. What a mess, I confess. That's not all. Danke schön, Angela, danke schön. I want to thank you for a Muslim parade. Crying moms, Christmas market bombs, corpses intertwined for all time. What a crime, how sublime. Danke schön, Frau Chancellor, danke schön. Now you have flushed Deutschland down the drain. Charles Martel, he gave the Muslims hell. But not this time, Jack. What do we lack when they attack and we get sacked? Danke schön, oh darling, danke schön.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.